What's the last book of the Old Testament?
Malachi? That's close. I'm Italian. It's Malachi. That's right. No, the book of Malachi. It's a short little book, four chapters, and it's called an oracle, which means it's the word of the Lord, and it's to his people. It talks about when God is going to come back. He refers to it as the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Great, because God is going to bless and restore his people. Dreadful, because it's also going to be a day of judgment. The last two verses of the last chapter, as God culminates the Old Testament, are so interesting. You know what's on God's heart? Dads and kids and their hearts. And so we're going to look at those last two verses of the book of Malachi as God chooses to close the Old Testament. Says this. It says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." Isn't that interesting? This is what's on God's heart as he closes the Old Testament. Dads and kids in their hearts. And he talks about Elijah. Now, Elijah, God is sending one of his big guns here. The last time we hear of Elijah, he's on the banks of the Jordan with Elisha, his successor. And Elijah gets carried away to heaven on a chariot of fire. He never died. Elijah was one of those guys that was there when Jesus was transfigured, him and Moses. Elijah is one of God's big guns, and he has an important job for him to do. He said he's going to send Elijah to turn the hearts of the dads to their kids and to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. I think that's one of those A before B things. I don't think kids turn their hearts to dad until dad first learns how to turn his heart toward the kids. And we're going to look at the role of a father today. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about parenting. Now, maybe you're a dad and all your kids are all grown up already. It doesn't stop when they leave the house. It doesn't stop when they're all grown up. Maybe you're a grandparent. My grandpa had tremendous influence in my life. We can still keep learning things. Maybe things are going very well and you've been doing, kind of following God's ways as you've been fathering your kids and you're leading your family. But Paul said, not that I've already attained, but this one thing I do, I forget what's behind and I move forward. I press on for what's coming ahead. There's more to learn. Paul talks about to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowing. It's always a little bit beyond us. So no matter where you're at, maybe you're just kind of in the throes of this. You've got young kids and you're just starting out and your head spins sometimes. This is for all of us. Maybe you're not even married yet and someday you'll be a dad. But we're going to look at what does God want us to do as dads? So there's something for all of us. You know, the neat thing about God's Word, it was written a long time ago and inspired by men that God had write these things down, but it's written for me. It's personal, and it's written for you. When we read his word, it's written for us as well. And so thank the Lord, we can look to him for direction. So dads, we're going to take a look at our role today. It's important. And moms and ladies, I hope you don't tune out because there's always something for all of us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are coming back someday and you want to bless and restore your people. And you, it's important to you, God, that we dads have our hearts turned toward our kids because you know that it's the most valuable resource that we will ever have. God, and they're not our kids, they're your kids, and you trust us with them. And there's a lot of responsibility and there's a lot of privilege with that. So teach us more about that. I pray that every dad in this room, every future dad in this room, every granddad in this room, Lord, we would learn more and we would grasp more of what you have for us, no matter where we're at. Thank you that this is attainable because it's important to you and what you call us to, you enable us to do. So Lord, teach us more about your ways as dads. Show us more about the role you call us to, the important role. And I pray that our kids would get the blessing and the result of you being part of who we are as dads. In Jesus' name, amen. When Mickey and I do pre-marriage counseling, the very last session, we talk about the sexual relationship, so we split off. I talk with the man, she talks with the woman. And I always talk to the man about this because I think it's important. I talk to him about how it's our God-given responsibility as men to lead and set the spiritual tone in the home. I really believe that's true. And I always use this example, the example of a thermostat and the example of a thermometer. Now, a thermometer simply measures back the conditions that surround it. If I were to stick a thermometer in the snow, it would say something less than 32 degrees because it hasn't melted yet. If I would stick the thermometer up by the light bulb, it would say something beyond our human limits in our bodies, right? I don't know what it would say, but it would be hot. A thermometer simply measures the atmosphere around it. Dads, we cannot be thermometers in our homes. If the atmosphere is icy and cold, it's not okay that we just simply react and become what the atmosphere is. If the atmosphere is getting hot and heated and anger is developing and it's getting to those extremes, we can't just simply measure that back. And I always encourage the men that, you know, I think it's our God-given responsibility and privilege that we have the ability to set the thermostat in our homes. We don't just measure back what the temperature is. We can make it comfortable. We can set it so it's just right, so that when it's 95 degrees and humid, we can put it at 70 degrees where it's comfortable. When it's 25 degrees below zero, we can put it at 70 degrees where it's comfortable. I really believe we have the ability to do that with God's help. So ask yourself, how's the thermostat set in your house with your wife and with your kids? That's so important. I want you to think about that. We have a role that God has given us that's so important, and it affects the people around us. We can't just measure back what's around us. We have to be thermostat setters. We have to set the tone. We have to set it for just right and make it comfortable. Is the house a better place when you're there, Dad? Do you make the atmosphere better? Do you condition the air in the environment around you with God's Spirit inside of you? That's what he wants us to do. I really believe that. I really, truly believe that. And like it or not, one of the biggest things is we have to lead by example. Dads, lead by example. Whether it's intentional or not intentional, we lead by example, not so much what we say, but what we do. Our kids see it all. They see everything. Don't you wish sometimes they only saw the good stuff? They saw you at your best, but they're around us all the time. They see us everything in between. They see us when we're those ordinary days. They see us when we're doing well, and they see us when we fail. And they're watching all the time. And we lead by example. And you know what they're watching most? I think this is huge, dads, husbands. They're watching to see how dad loves mom. Do you know that kids feel most secure when mom and dad love and care for each other and they know that they're going to be together? That's what they're watching. That means the most to them. In fact, God gives us some instruction as husbands in Ephesians. We've looked at this before. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He doesn't just tell us to love our wives, but the ante is high, the bar is high. How should we love them? Like Christ loved the church. Jesus died for the church. Jesus did everything it took, everything he needed to do to have relationship with the church. So, Dad, there are no limits to what God calls us to do in our homes to set that thermostat. And what kids need to see, we need to example most, is how are we doing with loving their mom? We can't just breeze past that. And if we're doing well, we got to keep doing well. And if we're not doing well, we need to readjust that setting because it means a lot. You know, the Bible's just so direct and so simple. If we could just, there's a lifetime of wisdom. God says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Dads, do not exasperate your children. We could put those four principles into action and life would be good. But it's not that easy. What does it look like, dads, if we're going to love our wives like Christ loved the church? Well, it looks like a lot of things, but here are a couple of things. Dad serves mom. Jesus was a king. He was born to be a king. He's the King of Kings. And he came to serve. And we need to do that as well. Dads, we can't come home from work and just kick our shoes off and read the paper and start watching the tube. Not that those things are bad. I do those things too. But that can't be our first inclination. We've got to get down and dirty, just like Jesus did. Right? That wash basin theology. Jesus got down in his dirty disciples' feet and he washed them and he served them. And dads, we have to be willing to do that. It really demonstrates the kind of love that God calls us to have for our wives, to serve them. Jesus was a king and he was the ultimate servant. He loved by serving. He was the greatest leader because he was the greatest servant who ever lived. And we need to be at the top of the list in our homes, dads, when it comes to serving. We need to champion it. We need to demonstrate it. We need to model it. We need to serve mom. It's huge. Our kids see it. They watch it. They need it. So important. What else? Dad speaks well of mom. Do you do that, dad? Are you setting the thermostat? Do your kids hear you speaking well of mom? I really like talking to my brothers and sisters and my mom and my coworkers at work. And I like to champion Mickey. I like to just lift her up. And I'm not just doing it just because. I really speak well of her because I think a lot of her. We need to do that. Are you speaking well of your wife? Are you speaking well of your kid's mom? That's one way we can set that thermostat in our homes. Our kids can sense how we feel toward their mom. It's very evident. There's no room for hypocrisy when it comes to working with kids. They can see through that. It doesn't work. It leads to rebellion. It leads to resentment. Speak well of mom. Dad is affectionate towards mom. That's such a good thing. Kids feel secure when that happens. We like to play music at our house and the kids will dance around and I'll dance around with Mickey and I'll dance around with the kids. And just a couple days ago, Maura said to us, "You guys make such a cute couple." I said, "Well, that's good. We are a couple." She said, "You look really nice together." She said, "Especially when you kiss." So I said, "Maura, look." And I planted one on Mickey, and she kind of rolls her eyes. But you know what? She loved it. She felt secure. Mom and Dad really love each other. She knows that's true. We like to be together. We show affection toward each other and toward the kids. We lead by example. Kids need it. You need it. I need it. We all do. Dad understands and respects mom's role. That's huge. You know, I get to go to work and I leave the house. And I get paid money for my jobs. Mickey doesn't get paid anything. And she's on the job all the time. And I let the kids know that. I said, "You guys, you got a mama who's a hard worker. You know, she's your doctor, she's your nurse, she's your counselor, she's your cooker, she's your cleaner. She helps disciple you, she disciplines when I'm gone. She does a lot of things. She's a hard worker." And I support that, and they know that's true. We need to do that as dads. We need to get behind them and thank them for all that they do. Dads, lead by example. It's so important, dads, that we follow the command that God tells us to love our wives just as Christ loved the church. Mom is dad's top priority above the children. Our children do not come before our marriage. We are not here for our children. When you got married, you had a covenant between you and your husband and wife and the Lord. And then God, if he's given you children, he's blessed you with children. That relationship is the most important one. You kids need to know that. I like Saturdays. I have two jobs, but Saturday is the day that I don't have to go anywhere. And so at some point, I usually just kind of linger and lay in bed a little bit and talk with Mickey. And at some point, all the kids end up in bed with us. And it's not nearly big enough. But at another point, I send everybody down. You guys all go down and read. And Papa and Mama are going to talk a little bit. And we just hang out. They know that our relationship comes before them. And when our relationship comes before them, then our relationship with them is better. That's how it works. Dads lead by example, and we could talk about a lot of things, but I don't think we can talk about that without mentioning how God calls us dads to love our wives and to love our kids' mom. I think that's the number one thing we can do. And that's how we can really set that thermostat at just right in our homes. That's one thing. What else? I think a successful dad builds a relationship with his kids built on trust. You know, without trust, your kids are going to get their identity from somebody else. If they know that you don't trust them, they're going to probably end up getting their identity from their friends or their peers. You have to build it on trust. You can't lead well if you don't trust them. And they know if you trust them or not. You know, leading by force works just for a little bit. And it's not very effective. There's just a short little window when you can kind of overpower them and lead by force. But you better be tying heartstrings and building trust along the way. Because if we're not, we're doing them a disservice. They're going to get their identity from somewhere other than your house. That'll happen. This is a great quote by Gary Ezel. Researchers have found that adolescents who feel connected to their parents and siblings are far less likely than their peers to suffer from emotional distress, experience suicidal thoughts and behaviors, exhibit violent behavior, smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, or use drugs. They perform better in school, enjoy deeper relationships, and are well-adjusted. This is documented. This is researched. This is talking about what we're talking about. Kids do better when things are good at home. That's a simple summary. We have an effect on this. Is your relationship built on trust? You are a team, all right? Dad is the manager. Mom is the captain. You know, mom is kind of the player on the field. She's always there. We're off at work or in different places, but dad, we are the manager, and we have to have our hand in every part of home life, even if we're not directly there all the time. We cannot abdicate ourselves from any areas. We have to be involved with school. That's just not on mom's head. We have to be involved with finances. That's just not on mom's head. We can't just turn it over to mom and say, this is your area. We have to be the general manager and have oversight over it all. We have to be involved with it all. Our kids know if we are or not. And Mickey is like the captain. I touch base with her all the time because she's there every day with the kids. How's this going? How's this one doing in school? And then I come up and we work together when there are problems or difficulties. But we're a team. This is simple but so true. If dad is excited about the family, the kids will be too. That's so true. Dads, your kids know what you're excited about. My kids know that, you know, when I get a few opportunities, I'll put my waders on and go sit in a stream and catch some trout. And you watch the fog lift in the morning and the sun rise and the birds are singing and it smells good and it looks good and everything's good. They know that dad likes that. Or to get a few golden days in the woods in the fall, they know I really like that. Or some of my favorite times are I get together with my brothers 3-4 times a year and we spend the day together. But they also know that I pick them over all those things. My favorite things in life, recreation-wise, I'll say no to every time to be with them. They know that they're at the top of the list. That's contagious. If we're excited about the family, they will be too. They'll know We can't be dads who are just doing our own thing and doing our own recreative activities, and that's what we do, and we're kind of half-hearted with, you know, the kids and the family, but, oh, I love this. It's not how it works. Without trust, independence rules over interdependence. Right? We're a team. We're a family. We're a team. We are here at church, too. We're a team. Rob and I could not make Sunday morning happen. It would be a miserable failure. We had a meeting last Sunday with different ministry leaders, and there are so many people involved in just keeping things going in the church, and it's a wonderful team. Everybody's doing different things, and same way in our family. We're a team. The kids can capture that. They'll be part of the team. They want to be. We need each other. That's just a given. Dads must win the heart of the child. Isn't that what it was talking about at the end of Malachi in the Old Testament? Right? It says, I will send the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. This is what he's going to do. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. We've got to have our kids' hearts. You know, so much in life we learn from failure. And I think a big part of this is, how do we handle failure with our kids? We fail a lot, and so do they. And I think it's one of the biggest ways we can tie heartstrings with them is through their failures and teaching them. Do they know that when they fail, it's kind of the beginnings of success? Is that how you make them feel? That's how it is. I love the reading about the Wright brothers. These guys were, they studied and they did and they worked at things. And as they were growing up, they didn't just one day invent the airplane. There was a lot involved there. They had a lot of failure, but they were encouraged by their dad to keep at it. And they did. And look what they did. Or Edison, look at his 1,000 times to figure out how to work these things that we all use every day. Failure is a good thing. Dads must allow kids freedom to fail. Failure is the beginning steps to success. I was talking with my son Jonas last night, and we were having a talk, and I said, you know, Jonas, he's our oldest. So I'm going to be talking about being a dad, you know, and what do you think is important, you know, for a dad? You know, just kind of wanted to see what he would say. And he said, well, Papa, he said, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, sometimes you fall off the balance beam. But as soon as you fall off, you're standing there and you're immediately ready to catch us when we fall off. And, you know, I liked how he paraphrased that. That's a good picture. Dads, we fall off the balance beam. We fail too. But we're standing there ready to help our kids when they fail, because there's so much to learn through that. And I really think we tie heartstrings through that. That's an opportunity. I think telling our kids when we failed and what they can learn from that. My kids love stories about when Dad was a naughty boy and when I broke this window, or when I cut down all, you know, I had just married Mickey and we were getting ready for the wedding, and her mom reluctantly gave me the weed whacker to get the farm ready because we were married outside. And I just totally leveled all of her herbs and spices. I was just, you know, everything looked like weeds, and I just took it all out. And you know what? They like hearing those stories. And then we admit to how we, you know, why I was a bonehead, and I made a mistake, and I blew it. And kids can identify with that. As a teacher, I went to a workshop once, and it talked about the power of having kids do demonstrations. Often as teachers, we're the example and we demonstrate it. Well, kids think teachers can do anything. But it's more powerful if you bring a couple kids from the class up to do it. And then they say, oh yeah, I can do that too. We learn a lot by just sharing times when we failed and how we, what we learned from it. This is important too. Kids need to know that when they fail, it doesn't affect their relationship. My sweet wife was patient with me this last summer. Our stove broke, and it took about almost 8 weeks before we could replace it. And so the stove top worked, but the oven didn't. And we finally got a new stove. And last week I got a call from my son Caleb, 6 years old. And I could tell it was one of those calls. Now, hey, Papa, how you doing? But there was some conviction behind this. There was some failure behind this. Papa? Yes, Caleb? I knew something. I didn't know what he was going to say. I mean, it was wide open. It could have been anything. But he took the apple slicer, and he decided to make some designs in Mom's handle for her new stove. And he told me what he did, and obviously Mom knew. And he needed to know that, you know what? I still loved him. What he did was wrong. Did you learn something from this? Are you going to do it again? There's a consequence for this. But it didn't affect our relationship. I wasn't like mad at him now because he made a mistake and he blew it. We have a relationship. Nothing changes that. He's my son. I'm going to keep teaching him. And when he fails again, when he's 12 and when he's 18 and when he's 24, I'm going to keep failing too, and we're going to keep learning. We're not going to stay where we're at. We're going to keep learning together. It's not the fear of failure that holds kids back, but the fear of failing someone. I heard that from somebody. I think that's true. We can't be afraid to fail, but it's bad when they feel like they're failing you. There's that little slip of legalism in there. They're not failing me. We learn from our mistakes, and that's so important. Focuses on character. If we want to set the thermostats in our house, you know, you hear so much about quality time and quantity time. You know, those are important things, but time itself does not guarantee anything good. 40 years with my kids wouldn't guarantee that they're going to have quality character. You could spend 1 year with the child and build tremendous character, or you could have 40 years and have no character at all. God is interested in the character that we develop. Number four, Luke, the focus is on character that we build. And if we're going to instill character into our kids, then we need to have some of that ourselves. We can't give them what we don't have. We can't be boys and raise men and women. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't mean that we're perfect dads, but we've got to have some character that we can pass on to our kids, because that's what God's interested in. They're our disciples. If our kids don't have the character that we want, oh, this is painful. I look at myself and say, oh yeah, I struggle with this too. That's hard. The difference between men and boys. I want you to look at this list. Boys play games, men work. I like to play games, but I also like to work. Because we need to work. We can't just play games. At some point, we got to teach our kids, we got to work. Don't always feel like working. We don't just do what we feel like. If we're not doing that, they won't be doing that. We got to teach them the value of working hard. So important. Boys are driven by hormones. Men are driven by principles. Matthew 7 says, hey, there's the fool and there's the wise man. They both heard the same thing, but the wise man did what he heard, and the fool didn't. The wise man was driven by principles that he held to, even when he didn't feel like it. And that's so important to do. I always tell my boys, when three of them share a room, and I say, you know, the world's filled with fools. We don't need any more of them. And sometimes I'm one of them, but, you know, by God's grace, we can just keep working to not be one of them. And it's so true. Boys are self-absorbed. Men are self-disciplined. It's easy to be self-absorbed. Just think about how it affects me and my world and you know, what's going on for me. Well, self-discipline, that's a character quality that we all need in life. You need it when you're young. You need it when you're old. You need it at all times. It's something we need to build into our kids. They need to see us do it in many areas. If I want my kids to have a quiet time, then there better be many days where they're seeing me up early or me at night or me when I have a moment reading my Bible. I can't just tell them, are you reading your Bible? They better see me do it. Don't tell them that I'm doing it. It's how it works. Self-discipline in lots of areas. Boys live in rebellion. Men live under authority. We submit to those that are over us. Some people grow up and they never learn to do that because they never learned to do that from their dad. Dad never did that, and so they don't do that either. Boys hide their mistakes, men apologize. I like the boys' club motto here at church. Tom Geary and Mike Downey lead the boys' club. And they say their motto is men of integrity. I like that. They're boys, but their motto is men of integrity. Shoot straight and tell it like it is. That's a good motto. We talk about that a lot at our house. We need to shoot straight and tell it like it is. Integrity is defined as no matter what it costs, doing what is right. Even when no one's looking. No matter what it costs, doing what is right. Boys hide their mistakes. Men apologize. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Talking about character, boys depend on themselves. I can do it. How many little boys? I can do it. They can do everything. When you're two, you can do everything. You haven't learned that you can't yet. King David said, apart from you, God, I have no good thing. I can relate to that. Men depend on God. They know, they can see if we're depending on the Lord or if we're being self-sufficient in the way that we run our homes. They can hear it in our prayers as we pray. And what are we leaning on? Boys dream, men get something done. I dream too. It's good to have dreams. I'm not saying don't have dreams. That's not all we can do. We got to get something done. Boys are accountable to no one. Men are accountable to other men. Other men know about you. You tell them about your struggles. You tell them about your mistakes. You pray with them. They pray for you, you pray for them. Boys are just kind of loose. You know, it's possible to grow up in our world and never become a man. I tell my boys, you know, we need men of God. We need men of God in our world. There are not a lot of those out there. We need to constantly be working at that. No matter where we're at, it's never too late to start. We can start wherever we're at. Doesn't matter how old we are. But dads, if we're going to build character, then we ought to be working on it ourselves. We need to have it if we're going to pass it on. It has to go both ways. How's the thermostat set in your house? Dads, I just want you to know that's an awesome privilege, but it's an awesome responsibility that we have to set the thermostat. It's God-given, and we have the ability to set it so that no matter what's going on around us, life is better because we're there. Because God's presence is in us, and we're there around those we love, and we're affecting them. We're influencing them. We're making it comfortable. We're setting it at just right. We have the ability to do that. I believe that. I'm going to put up a list of characteristics of a good dad. I'm not going to run through these, but on a sheet in the foyer, I have our verses from Malachi, the difference between men and boys, and then I have this list of characteristics. And you can grab one of those, and I'd encourage you to take one and look through that list, pray about it, share it with your kids, but mostly do it with your kids. Live it with your kids. And it's the most, I really truly believe this, there's nothing more important in my life than I will ever do than being a dad. And right now, God has given us 7 disciples. And Mickey and them, they're my top priority. And I'm a pastor. But I think God calls me to that first. And we need to take that seriously. And we need to God is, he wants to help us because it's so important. He's not just saying, you're out there on your own. We can help each other, but we got to help ourselves. And we can dig in and do this. Dads, I want you to make sure that thermostat is set where you want it and where you think it's in a good place and where your family would agree. And if it's not, do something about it. You can do something about it. Take one of these sheets in the back and pray about these things and ask God to help you because he wants to. It's on his heart. He closes the Old Testament. He's thinking about dads in their hearts and kids in their hearts and how they work together. Dads, when we turn our hearts to our kids, they will turn their hearts toward us, and we can have a great influence. And it'll impact eternity. I really believe that. I believe that the disciples that we create in our own homes will impact eternity more than disciples that we could work with otherwise. I believe that's just the way God has established it. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've given us a great responsibility, but a great privilege as well. And there's a lot of work, but there's a lot of blessing. Thank you that we can have an influence on the thermostats in our homes. Thank you, Father, that you care so much about our hearts and our kids' hearts. And I pray that we would be humble. I pray that we would be desperate to pray. I pray that we would be working together to just see you bless and restore our homes more and more. Thank you that you are for us. You are not against us. Thank you that you are committed to us for the long haul, and you want to help us in this important job of being dads. I'm so glad, Lord. I wouldn't want to do it. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you that you're part of all that we are. You want to be part of all that we are in our homes. In Jesus' name, amen.